Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Become your healthiest self. It's time for Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
As we head into the dog days of summer, many of us find that we are, well, now at increased risk of dehydration and heat-related problems. Today's topic will discuss dehydration and how it affects the body. This is something we need to focus on. You know, we also need to know the difference between heat stress and heat stroke and heat exhaustion and maybe some healthy habits that we might be able to do to help us be better, and maybe some of the habits that we may have that may be leading us in the direction of becoming a victim. You know, today we've learned a lot as we get healthier, as we get more unhealthy on either ends of the scale. We have to realize that things that we used to put off to a much later age are now things that we're starting to incur at a much younger age. Remember the time when we used to think that arthritis and heart disease and diabetes and, you know, and all the other health problems that we associate with were only things that would affect or afflict the geriatric part of our society? Well, it's not that way anymore. The walls have come down, if you will, and they have trickled down these unhealthy health situations to many of us that are much, much younger. Are we responsible? In many cases, some things are mildly genetically predisposed, but in many cases, it's our habits, our lifestyle, our choices, our vices that lead us into what is known as an unhealthy situation. You know, today we've learned a lot. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we possibly can do to keep ourselves as healthy as possible, but we have to make choices. You know, so right now it's warm outside. Now, you know, I live in the southwest part of the country out here where it gets quite hot, even though they keep every year saying it's a dry heat. Well, it's still hot. You know, if you can cook an egg on a sidewalk, it's hot, whether it's humid or just plain dry heat. So people ask all the time, is the idea of being outside, is it different for people, let's say, on the East Coast when they're sweating profusely because of humidity, or on the southwest part of the country when we are using a dry heat? I think we need to remember that when it comes to heat, a lot of times heat is heat. And sometimes even in the dry heat, we are still depleting fluids from our body. But I thought what we could do first is maybe talk just a little bit about the difference between things like heat exhaustion and heat stroke, because, you know, we throw the words around very, you know, very easily, but there is a difference. Heat exhaustion is basically a heat-related illness that can occur after you've been exposed to high temperatures, and it's pretty much often accompanied by dehydration. Now, there's two types of heat exhaustion. Number one is water depletion. Signs include excessive thirst and weakness and headaches and loss of consciousness. Number two is salt depletion. Signs include things like nausea and vomiting, muscle cramps, and dizziness. Although heat exhaustion isn't as serious as heat stroke, it is something, you know, that we should not take lightly. Without proper intervention, heat exhaustion can progress into heat stroke, which can damage the brain and other vital organs and even cause death. So how about some symptoms of heat exhaustion? The most common signs and symptoms of heat exhaustion include confusion and dark-colored urine, which is a sign of dehydration, dizziness, fainting, fatigue, headaches, muscle or abdominal cramps, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, a pale kind of, you know, whitish look to the skin, profuse sweating, a rapid heartbeat. Now, if you feel these things coming on, obviously get out of the heat. But if you or anyone else has symptoms of heat exhaustion, it's essential to get to a cooler, air-conditioned place. And if you can't get inside, try to find the nearest cool or shady place. Strategies would be to drink plenty of fluids, of course, avoiding caffeine and alcohol. Remove any tight or, you know, constricting or unnecessary clothing. Take a cool shower, a bath, or a sponge bath, and apply other cooling measures such as fans or cold towels. Now, if the measures fail to produce relief within about 15 minutes, it's time to seek emergency help, because untreated, things like heat exhaustion can progress into heat stroke. Now, heat exhaustion is strongly related to the index of the heat, which is a measurement of how hot you feel when the effects of relative humidity and air temperature are combined. A relative humidity of 60% or more hampers sweat evaporation, kind of hindering your body's ability to cool itself. You know, it is interesting. If you ever watch your dogs, I have dogs, I have horses, you know, and you watch the dogs and they're panting. You know, people think that they're overheating. Actually, they're actually cooling their system. Now, obviously, they can be warm, they can be hot, and they're panting because they are, but the actual motion of panting is what cools down their body. You know, we sweat and then we, you know, pound down different kinds of fluids, but we need to remember that there is a difference out there of the kind of fluids that we are bringing in. And like I already mentioned, you want to stay away from caffeinated beverages and things like that. If you are someone who is a cardiovascular patient, if you are someone who has heart and lung and kidney disease, if you are severely overweight, if you have normal cardiovascular problems like high blood pressure, diabetes, or heart disease, you need to be careful in the heat. And you always need to make sure that you are hydrated, and you always need to make sure that you're doing everything you possibly can, you know, to keep your body as balanced and as healthy as possible. You know, that people say, well, I do fine in the heat. And a lot of people do. I mean, I don't mind being out in the heat. For me, it's kind of the act of going from air conditioning to the heat, air conditioning to the heat. If I'm out in the heat and I've got proper, you know, sunglasses and I've got a hat on my chrome dome and, you know, I've got sunscreen on and I've got plenty of fluids and I'm hydrated with plenty of minerals and all the good stuff, I'm fine in the heat. But it's like when you go in and you cool down for a while, then you go back in the heat again, you see that drastic difference, and it seems to be just very exhausting. Now, some tips for preventing heat exhaustion: wear lightweight, light-colored, loose-fitting clothing and a wide-brimmed hat. Now, sometimes when we wear like a baseball cap, and those things are great for the top of the head, but we're not preventing the heat from getting to the top of the ears and the sun damaging the top of the ears and the back of the neck, and those are areas that can actually be a problem. A lot of people out there have a tendency to not use any kind of a sunscreen. I think sunscreens are amazing. There are many natural sunscreens that are available, and I would search those out if possible. And the other thing is drink lots and lots of extra fluids to prevent dehydration. Plenty of water and fruit juices and vegetable juices, because they are, you know, very, very important. And make sure you read your labels on these so-called sports drinks. Many times they're chemical-based, high sugar-based drinks with a sprinkling of minerals in them, and you'd be better off, you know, to just put your own natural sports drink together more effectively. And the other thing is, if you're going to be out in the heat, limit your caffeine and your alcohol, because both of them can make you lose more fluids and actually cause dehydration. And you want to make sure that you're putting things in that actually replenish your actual waters and fluids to the body. Have you ever noticed that when you're really, really hot and really thirsty and you drink, let's say, a soda, and although you may enjoy it, it doesn't quench your thirst, and you want another one soon after, where water, good, fresh, clean water, is very, very hydrating. You know, something I've been doing lately, which is kind of good, is I do a lot of omega-3s in my diet, but I love chia seeds. You know, even though when I was a kid, we used to mix it up and make the glop and put it on the terracotta little things and grow and sprouted little, you know, gardens on top of these terracotta little things that we did. Today, I've learned so much more about chia seeds, and they're extremely hydrating and help you hold on to your fluid. So what I do is, when I have a sports drink, and if I make a natural flavored sports drink, I put about 2 tablespoons, 3 tablespoons of chia seeds in my bottle. Now, you'll see them kind of rolling around and flying around inside the bottle when you're drinking your beverage, but as you consume them, they really help your body hold on to the water more effectively. Plus, you're getting your omega-3s, the good fats that we need for the body, but there's something about adding those chia seeds. I mean, I put them in my smoothies and my yogurts and my juice and all that stuff, but I started putting them in my sports bottles, and I have to tell you, it really does make a difference. When somebody told me about it, I kind of laughed a little bit, and then I was at a health food store, and I saw a beverage in the refrigerator that actually was a kind of a natural juice drink with chia seeds in the bottle, and I thought to myself, wow. So I bought one, and I drank it, and it was very refreshing, and you're drinking, you're getting the consistency of these chia seeds going down with the liquid, and it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. So just applying the same kind of information that is there. So what we have to do is we have to, you know, broaden our horizons a little bit. So heat exhaustion, bad, not absolutely terrible, but bad, something we need to keep an eye on. Now, heat stroke is probably the most serious form of heat injury and is considered a medical emergency. If you suspect that someone has heat stroke, also known as sunstroke, call 911 immediately. Get them the first aid care that they need. Heat stroke can kill or cause damage to the brain and other internal organs. Although heat stroke mainly affects people over 50, it also takes toll on healthy young athletes. Now, heat stroke occurs as a progression from milder heat-related illness such as heat cramps and fainting and heat exhaustion, but it can strike if you have no previous sign of injury. Heat stroke results from prolonged exposure to high temperatures, usually in combination with dehydration, which leads to failure of the body's temperature control system. Now, the medical definition of heat stroke is a core body temperature greater than 105 degrees Fahrenheit, with complications involving the central nervous system that occur after exposure to high temperatures. So, keep in mind these symptoms: nausea, seizures, confusion, disorientation, and sometimes loss of consciousness and/or coma. The hallmark symptom of heat stroke is core body temperature above 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Other symptoms are throbbing headaches, dizziness and lightheadedness, lack of sweating despite the heat, red, hot, dry skin, muscle weakness, muscle cramps, nausea, vomiting, rapid shallow breathing, seizures, unconsciousness, confusion. These are things we need to keep in mind because this is a situation that is life-threatening. So, you know, if you're having an event and you're outside, it's always a really good idea to look around and keep an eye on people. Sometimes people are, we get to be careless. You know, we're not drinking our fluids, or we're drinking a lot of caffeinated beverages, or you've had too many glasses of alcohol or bottles of alcohol, and you are now, your body is dehydrating and you're not putting back in the fluids. And what happens is it gets away from you. And you know, people are busy doing their things. If it's a big event, people lose track. Their blinders are on and they don't see people walking next to them, sitting next to them. So keep your eyes open when you are dealing with people that are in a big group like that. So what I say is, you know, if you see someone that is experiencing the symptoms, get them to a cooler place. Hopefully, let the people they're with know that there could be a problem. Get some fluids into them. And if it looks really bad, make sure you get a hold of medical attention as soon as possible. Now, if you can get them into an air-conditioned environment, or at least a cool, shady area, and remove unnecessary, you know, buildup of clothing to get better circulation and help to cool the body, that's going to make a difference. So it is something that we need to keep an eye on because it's that time of the year. We need to make sure that we are doing a lot of benefit to the body. We are doing as much as we possibly can to cool this person down. And though they say that heat stroke affects people over 50, I've seen it in younger people. I've seen it in professional, well-tuned, well-in-shape individuals who just weren't thinking about hydrating. Put a fan in front of the person if you can. That's really good for cooling down the skin. If you could put some cool water on them in front of the fan, apply it to places like the armpits and the groin, believe it or not, the neck, the back, because these are areas that are rich in blood vessels close to the skin. Cooling them can help to reduce the body temperature. If you can get them into a shower or a tub of cool water or even some ice on the back of their neck and even on their chest, it can make a dramatic difference in cooling the body. Now, they say a lot of times heat stroke affects older people. You know, sometimes people live alone. And this is something that does happen in our society here in this country. Our elderly sometimes end up being by themselves. You know, they lose friends, they lose groups, they lose their spouses, families move away. Sometimes they move into areas where they're not seeing a lot of people. So sometimes, maybe conserving money, they're turning their air conditioners off, maybe just trying to do it with a fan. And you go into these places and it's so hot and they're exhausted. Then they get so tired that they don't get up and drink water. Then we're dealing with urinary tract and bladder and kidney infections as we're dealing with core temperatures that are going up. If you have people in your life that are older and they're by themselves, do me a favor. Stop by, check in on them, bring a little bag of groceries, take them to lunch, make them get dressed and get out of the house. And when you go to visit them, I know this is a little off topic, but it's really important. When you go to visit older friends, look around. Are the shades drawn? Are the dishes not done? Is the trash overflowing? Does it look like they've been eating? Is there fresh food and beverages cool and ready in their refrigerator? Is their hygiene up? Are they taking care of themselves? These are signs that there's something major going to happen, whether it's heat exhaustion or whether it's just a medical condition. Maybe they're not making their doctor's appointments. Maybe they're not wanting to bother people to take them. you know, and heat exhaustion happens a lot. I have an older friend I went to see about a year or so ago, and I stopped by out of the blue and I knocked on her door and it was about 110 degrees in her apartment. I said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "Well, I didn't want to run the air conditioner because it's expensive." And I said, "You've got to cool this place down." So we cooled it down. I got her dressed. I took her out. I took her to lunch, took her to a movie. And by the time we got back, it was cooled down. And I set her air conditioner for her and I said, "Don't touch it. Leave it right here." And I taped over it. I said, "This is where it needs to stay." I said, "You do not want to put yourself through this." And we got back and she was still a little warm. So she went in and took a nice, cool, tepid shower. And she came out and she said, "Oh, I feel so much better." Now, she has all her vitamins there. This woman's very nutritional, but she's gotten older. And, you know, what I've learned from this is that I said, remember, you know, put your electrolyte drops in your beverages. Every time you drink something, put some electrolyte drops in. I said, that way you're getting a slow, steady stream of these minerals into your system. And it's so important. You know, it's a different concept in this country with our elderly. We have a tendency to kind of let them kind of just do their thing, where in other parts of the world, we kind of revere our elderly and we do keep a better eye on them. So, no guilt, but if you have friends and family and neighbors and stuff that are older, check in on them. Call them, you know, or just stop in, you know, bring a dish to pass. Making dinner, make a little bit extra and take it over to them just to be nice. You know you're doing a checkup. You're looking around. You can do it really quickly. Take a glance around, check the temperature, look in the sink for dishes, take a good look up and down on them. Are they taking care of themselves? And is it really hot in there? These are things you want to keep a lookout for. And like I said, we don't have to be older individual to be like this. Sometimes life just gets away from us and we forget to take care of ourselves. The other thing is when you have problems when you're on medications like diabetes and blood pressure or heart problems, or you're on any kind of medications now, even many antidepressants, mood elevators, many of them have dehydrating side effects. And sometimes you know what happens when you go to get a medication. You get the little bag, you get the information on it. The pharmacist comes over and says, "This is how you take it. Take one or two a day. Follow what's on the little amber bottle. Take it with food. Or take it on an empty stomach, or don't take it with a citrus juice." That's what you get. Now, how many people do you think go home and open up that medication pamphlet and read all about it and read all the side effects, things to do and things not to do? No one. I'd say 1% of people do that. They rip open the bag, they throw it away, they look at the bottle, they see the amber bottle, and on it it says one or two daily with food, and that's all we look at. We may not even know that the medication we're using for something that's keeping us healthy or alive can also be causing dehydration. And on a summer day, without knowing it, we could actually have heat exhaustion or heat stroke because of extra dehydration from something that we're doing that we would never think that could ever hurt us. So we have to be aware. Sunscreen's really important. Keeping the fluids going, very, very important. Taking precautions if you exercise outside, you know, making sure that you've got fluids in your system, that you have your electrolytes going, that you know, maybe stop every once in a while and cool down and then finish your exercise and maybe start exercising earlier in the morning or later in the evening out of the direct sun when the temperature has come down. Now, actually, out here in the desert, when the sun goes down, we usually go down to a balmy, cool 102 or 103. But when you're coming from 110, 115, obviously that is a big drop. And you can definitely feel the difference. Other parts of the country, they may be 80 or 90 degrees with 95 to 98% humidity. So you're ready, you take a shower, you leave the house, you're sweating by the time you get to the door. Now, sweating is not only uncomfortable and annoying and sticky and yuck, but some people also sweat a lot of odor because the inside of the body is not flushed out with water like it should be. So a lot of those impurities come out through their sweat, which comes out with the smell as well as losing electrolytes. So the bottom line is we really need to flush our system out. We need to protect our kidneys and our liver and our bladder and our urinary tract and keep things hydrated and flushing. You know, some people will say, "Well, I don't want to be going to the bathroom that much." Well, you know, it's too bad. You need to make sure that you're flushing out your kidneys and you're giving your body the fluids that you need. Very, very important. So hopefully you can take the time to keep yourself hydrated. That's really, really important. And I think sometimes we just don't think, you know, about that. Now, let's say we're in the time of the year right now where hydration is important because it just makes you feel better. But adequate hydration is vital. It's vital and crucial for surviving these blistering temperatures. You know, every year we'll have a friend or somebody in our circle that will say, "Was it this hot last year?" And I just kind of roll my eyes and think, yes, that's the same question you ask me every year. It's the same one you ask me in December when you say, "Does it get this cold every year?" We don't pay attention. We don't focus on it. We've got too many other things going on. So when someone asks me on a regular basis, how much water should I drink? I think one of the easiest things to do is say drink half your body weight in water or more. If you weigh 150 pounds, you should be drinking 75 ounces of water per day. Now, soda pop, alcohol, caffeinated beverages, usually we don't count them. I do count teas like green tea and iced tea. I count those as fluids and water because sometimes people are not water drinkers. I know people that'll drink a gallon of herbal tea, but they won't drink a glass of water. Now, am I going to give it to them as a gallon of water? Well, of course I am. But if they're trying to drink six sodas and 12 ounces each, you know, and try to count that off as, you know, 80 or more ounces of water, I don't count that because they're more of a dehydrating beverage and they have a diuretic in them. Caffeine-containing beverages act as diuretics to the body. So avoid them, because they can dehydrate the system. And another little thing to keep in mind, if you must drink a soda, drink 3 glasses of water to make sure you're putting back in what you lose. I have a very good friend that's been trying to quit sodas forever, and she does everything else right. She is the healthiest person I know, but will not give up her 4 sodas every single day. 4, mind you. High stress, busy lawyer on Wall Street in New York, vegetarian, runs marathons, everything, but sodas were her last downfall. So I told her, I said, "Fine, have your sodas, but for every soda you drink, I need you to drink 3 12-ounce glasses of water." So I said, "That's 36 ounces for every soda, 4 times a day. Well, that was enough for her to cut her soda down to 1 a day, and now she's drinking close to a gallon of water because she found out that she stopped having things like urinary tract problems and kidney problems, and she's having better urine, and her urine doesn't have an odor anymore, and she has a rough menstrual cycle, and the water made a dramatic difference in her health and her skin. So now she's become a water drinker, and she has her 1 small can of soda every day." So that, to me, was a huge monumental change for her. Plus, she became one of those people that became a water drinker. Now, when people ask you, you know, about electrolytes, I mean, do you really know what they are? Electrolytes are chemicals that form electrically charged particles or ions in body fluids. These ions carry the electrical energy necessary for a lot of functions in the body, including like muscle contractions and transmission of nerve impulses. Many bodily functions depend on electrolytes. Optimal performance requires a consistent and adequate supply of these important nutrients. Now, many athletes neglect consistent electrolyte replenishment because they've never had cramping moments. Now, even if you've been fortunate enough to never have suffered the painful, debilitating effects of cramping, you know, those jump out of the bed, jump out of the chair, toe curling, painful situations, you still need to provide your body with a consistent and adequate supply of electrolytes. Why? Well, because the goal in replenishing electrolytes is not so much to prevent cramping, but to maintain specific bodily functions at optimal levels. Now, I know this is a lot of information, you know, but the thing is, we learn more. If you want to see more what's coming to the show, well, like the Facebook page or follow us on Instagram or Twitter and let us know what your favorite healthy habit is. Then listen in, you might just hear it mentioned right here on the show. And the other thing is, I know there's confusion out there all across the board because there's misinformation. You know, after over 3.5 decades in this field, I admit it, when you walk into most health food stores, it can boggle your brains. You know, faced with shelf after shelf of supplements, you know, sometimes we're just bobbing our head from side to side. And if you don't have people to work with, oh, that even makes it worse. How do you know what to choose? Better Nutrition can help. Better Nutrition is the healthy shopping magazine. It's amazing. It's packed with useful information on a variety of health topics, as well as deliciously healthy recipes and good for you lifestyle tips. Every single issue will help you stay up to date on the best products and advice for optimal wellness. Make sure you pick up a copy of Better Nutrition Magazine at Fine Health Food Stores near you today, and keep your copies. You will refer back to them. I go back to, you know, previous episodes of articles. I'll just go back and I'll say, oh, this copy, I remember it had this article in it, and it was really, really good. You know, so I keep them. I got the little filing things and I stack them in 12 months at a time, you know, and I'll tell you what, I go back to get that information because why? I can use it here. And to me, that's really important. It's really important to be able to make a difference in our health. But this is a big topic today, dehydration, you know, heat stroke, heat exhaustion, and, you know, the things that are truly the things we should be focusing on. I do have a website of the week. You might want to go there. It's Warning Signs and Symptoms of Heat-Related Illness, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That's the website of the week. It's https://www.cdc.gov/extremeheat/warning. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of information. But you know what? These are the things we need to know. It's the summer. We want to be out. We want to make sure that we are doing things that are important for us. We want to make sure that we are, you know, focusing on our health. And we want to make sure that we are paying the attention that we have to pay. And to me, that's really, really important. I hope you take the time to remember to go to the radio show page at Radio MD for Talk Healthy Today for on-demand podcast of the show. I think you'll be glad you did because it's good information and you'll learn a lot and you'll be actually able to start focusing on the things that are important. Now, some people may say, well, it's just summer. It's just heat. Well, yeah, but wouldn't you like to look at things in a little bit of a healthier way? I would. I'd like to do the things that truly make my life better and healthier. And if I can get out in the sun and enjoy it a little bit more and come in from it feeling good rather than drenched out, I want to do that. Be well. Have a great day. God bless.